content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, Christina, and Alicia are in the control room, and I have John David Carrasco with me. Such an honor to meet you yesterday at the Texas Hemp Convention, and we brought him in studio because he's got an incredible story to tell you here in just a few minutes. And so, thank you so much for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm so impressed with this gentleman. I really am. He is a CEO of CanLive, which is a global hemp company, and he's a global hemp developer. His background is in healthcare, business management, and IT, information technology, and it's just crazy. I mean, it's what a crazy story, but I want to hear the personal story here in a couple minutes, and we've got Dr. Johnny Bowden coming up today, and of course, it's Friday, so we have Maura Davies on the line. We're going to do our animal segment here, and Maura, I have some of the funniest stories to share with you last night. I brought home some hemp for my dogs. Uh-huh. And my cats, cool. and they got into a fist fight over them, or a paw fight, I should say. But Maura, it's always great to have you on the air with us. She is the Vice President of Communications at the SPCA, that is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of North Texas. Their website is spca.org, and today we're talking about, and this is so funny that we would be talking about this after what, you know, how this show has just kind of developed today, but does catnip really get your cat high? And I love this. I'll tell you what, I think my cats were enjoying the hemp last night. They were going, they actually got into, Dean and Butters got into a fist fight over a bag of these products called Pet Help, CBD pet tablets. Uh-huh. They had cat and dog ones. And I'm telling you, like, it was hysterical. I shot some video of it that I'll maybe put on social media. But so you know, let's talk about catnip first. So what do you want people to know about catnip?
Yes. Well, you know, I thought about talking about this because I saw my cat going nuts for catnip the other day, and it cracked me up because I had this little container that I got from the pet supply store that I got it at, and it was like a little plastic tub, and I forgot and left it out on the table, and when I got home from work, there were all these like deep bite marks, like she had tried so valiantly to get into the whole container. It was this massive container. I'm so glad she didn't, and I'll tell you why here in a second, but she goes nuts over it. Like, she rolls her face in it, she rolls on top of it, she eats it, she purrs, and then she goes nuts around the house. It's actually kind of funny, so I thought, is this good for her? Am I hurting her? So the first thing really quickly, so what is catnip? Catnip, it's an herb, a perennial herb. It's a member of the mint family, actually, and it's really easy to grow in your garden. It can grow to be up to 3 feet high, so make sure you have a good spot for it, too. Maybe you have other mint. You could put it all Maybe call all the neighborhood cats to your yard.
they do go crazy for it. I know mine do, for sure. All 13 of them.
But, oh, gosh, yes. Well, so there's what makes cats go crazy over it is a chemical compound in the plant that's called nepetalactone. And I may be saying that wrong. My apologies if I am saying it wrong. Nepetalactone is found in the leaves and the stems. So there is a connection. Science has determined, yes, this is what makes that reaction happen.
Well, you know, I was reading something a couple weeks ago. Girls, I don't know if you can help me remember here. Do you remember we were talking about deer naturally get high?
Oh, yeah. Reindeer like to go find mushrooms in the forest.
Yes.
Oh. And just like dolphins like to suck pufferfish almost.
Yes, yes. Good memory, Aviana. And I was reading that and I was fascinated. And they also mentioned catnip. So I think that all species really probably seek a higher level of consciousness. What do you think?
Yes. Oh, yeah, no, it sounds like it. That's really interesting. I had no idea about the dolphin. I'd heard about the reindeer, but I had not heard about dolphins.
Yeah, well, yeah. So when you see a reindeer, you know, like the deer in the headlights, he's out there like, wow, looking at the stars in the middle of the road. That's what he's doing, right?
Oh,
he's high on mushrooms.
Well, and what weirds me out about catnip specifically is that some cats really aren't affected by it. Like, just they're not.
I have a cat that doesn't, he's not affected by catnip, but my other one will like roll in it and then another one will eat it. So,
wow. Yeah. So what determines that?
Yeah. You know, it's, I think what scientists are beginning to learn is that maybe about half to three quarters of cats seem to be affected by catnip. And that the behavior they exhibit when they're, the cats who are affected by catnip, once they get into it, their behavior can vary. So further, scientists think that it's something that cats inherit from their parents. So if your cat does have the sensitivity, also to note that it doesn't emerge until your cat is several months old. So kittens are not affected by that chemical. So some cats, we'll eat it. I have right now my cat loves to eat catnip. But my cat who recently passed away, Sweet Boy, he was 18. He didn't care about catnip. We've always had catnip around, whether it's in a toy or a treat, and he was never affected by it. And a cat previously I had wouldn't eat it, but she would roll around in it. So all of that is totally normal.
Well,
Well,
you know, what about humans? Can humans eat catnip? Have they ever tried? Have they ever done?
Only information I have on that is it has been known by some to help humans. It's been used for its sedative properties
really?
For centuries, apparently, that may have similar properties to chamomile. And this one I definitely knew before. It can be a very potent mosquito repellent. So that may be a good reason to have it in your yard. It is safe for cats unless they eat a lot. So if anyone has too much of anything, it can be bad. But it's safe for cats. And so, you know, whether they eat it, inhale it, roll in it, whatever, some cats, it can be a stimulant. Some cats, it can be a sedative. It can happen to both. A cat might be first, you know, they first can kind of get that high, kind of like LSD maybe even, or marijuana. And then the effects can last for about 10 minutes. And then some cats, especially if they eat it, it can act as a sedative.
Wow.
So my cat must be smelling it and eating it because she'll get around it and then she'll run around the house like a maniac and then she'll pass out.
Wow. Well, I have to tell you, you know, I have a lot of animals to experiment on. Clearly, I have 23 animals, 10 dogs, and 13 cats. And yes, my house is clean, for those that wonder. It's very clean, in fact. But so last night I came home from the Texas Hemp Convention and I had like, you know, I had like... all kinds of stuff. And I had a really good time. It's amazing how relaxed you can get when you're around so many cool people. But this one company, as we were leaving, and they were shutting down the Pet Help CBD dog treats and cat treats. So, you know, Charlie has been having such a hard time, Maura, when I leave the property. And it doesn't matter if it's night or day. He gets so upset, like he's got bloodshot eyes from it. So I thought, you know what? And I tried some other CBD oil, and he didn't like it. And so these are like little treats. And I have to tell like the cat treats, they love them. They were fighting over them. Like I said, Butters and And Dean actually got into a paw fight, like a fist fight up on the kitchen counter. And then I gave some of the dog ones to Charlie, and he slept really well last night through the whole night. So clearly these products or CBD, marijuana, all of it, catnip, all of it does have medicinal healing properties for all animals on the earth. Right?
Yeah, but you know, I'm with you. I think it's, as always, I recommend people speaking with their veterinarian. But I will tell you right now, my cat loves catnip. It is that I cannot dispute. and it's a treat for her. We've had catnip for our cats for years, and I've heard so many people having great experience with so many different CBD treats for their pets. That, it's an interesting new world. So when we're in this for the well-being of our pets, it's worth asking around, learning, finding out what's best for our pets.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about all of it. And I thank you so much for all the work that you do to help so many animals all over North Texas. Maura Davies, always a pleasure. Everyone, you can donate at the SPCA.org. And can you put out the numbers for us quickly of why it's so important to spay and neuter, Maura?
Sure thing. The only way that every pet in this country would have a home is if every person alive adopted 7 animals a day, every single day of their whole lives.
Wow.
Millions of pets are in shelters. Millions of pets need your help. Please adopt today and be sure to, make a gift to your local shelter and make sure to spay and neuter. It's so important.
Yeah. And if you do adopt a pet, be a good pet owner. Be a really good pet owner. Do it well, right?
Love your pets, and they love you so much. The love you get back from them, you can't even measure. It's a beautiful thing, and I couldn't live without pets. Goodness.
I know. I love every one of my 23. I know. It's a little wackadoodles, but you know what?
It's a lot of love. I love it.
Hey, you know, I have purpose. I have a lot of purpose.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you take care. We'll talk to you next week. Everyone, stay tuned.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hey boy, what you say boy? You tryna play coy like a Game Boy? Hit my phone boy. Is your homeboy? Are you a lone boy? Come give me
dome
boy.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, John David Carrasco, and Dr. Johnny Bowden. How are you doing today, Dr. Johnny?
I'm great. I'm enjoying your music that brings you back in. They're very hip.
Yes. Well, that's Lizzo, and that's a great dance tune. You should put it on your system sometime and get a little get a little wiggle in. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You're welcome. For those of you listening that maybe have not heard Dr. Johnny Bowden before, he is known as the nutrition mythbuster and is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health. He is the best-selling author of 15 books, including The Great Cholesterol Myth and The Most Effective Way to Live Longer. Dr. Johnny earned 6 certifications in personal training and fitness. He has a master's degree in psychology, a PhD in holistic nutrition, and is board certified by the American College of Nutrition. His latest book is Living Low Carb, the revised edition. I have it with me today. And you can find him. I do. I had it. You know, I had it the whole time. My library, Dr. Johnny, I just really, we're getting it organized little by little, but I have thousands of books. But anyway, and I've got all of yours, just by the way, because they're all so great. You can find Dr. Johnny at his website, johnnybowden.com, and that's JONNYBOWDEN.com. Okay, Dr. Bowden, today we're talking about boosting your immune system to live longer and better. So, you know, you wanted to talk about natural killer cells. What are those? What are we talking about here?
Well, that's one component. Excuse me.
Hey,
for the
buddy.
Dog.
You got your pet there too?
So we all know. And natural killer cells are just one strong component of the immune system, much like we've all unfortunately heard of T cells because of the AIDS epidemic. So we all remember the days when they were going, your T cell count is so low, and that was a big, worrisome part of the immunity system of somebody who had been infected with the human immunodeficiency virus. So we know T cells are a part of that, NK cells. These are all kind of parts of the army that our body has to fight things that don't belong. Hmm. And it's exactly the same kind of thing, Bernadette, that happens in our gut. And we've talked, you and I have talked about that so many times with leaky gut. What happens? Things get in that they don't belong, and then the immune system mounts an attack. And many of us think that that's one of the reasons why there's such an epidemic of autoimmune diseases. Too many things are getting in that don't belong, and you know, and all systems go. So the NK cells, they're made in the bone marrow, and they're very sensitive to like viral infections and interferon. And then the T cells are also part of our natural immunity. So these are just different soldiers in the army, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep them. We want to keep the lines of communication open. We want to feed them. We want to do what we would do with any army, which is to keep them well-fed, on alert, well, you know, sleeping 8 hours a night, you know, whatever it is it takes them to keep them healthy and vibrant and functioning.
Oh, my God.
Same things with the cells.
I have to say, last night I got the best night's sleep, and I've been kind of struggling with it lately. And I think that, you know, I don't know if you heard us talking with Maura Davies before the show, but I gave my dog Charlie some CBD little tablets last night from the Texas Hemp Convention. He slept like a baby, and so did I. Because
really?
He has really bad.
It's one of the wonderful things about CBD. I'm a big fan, as I think we've talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And and so CBD and immunity. Let's talk about that. Is there any benefits to the immune system with CBD oil?
Most of these questions are a large question mark. I mean, yes, there are tons of people who represent companies that make CBD, that make every wild, many of which may turn out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that right now, we don't know.
You don't know.
And we don't know. But we have a lot of things that pass the smell test. What you, and I know your very sophisticated audience, needs to know is that a lot of what we do in medicine and in nutrition is guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a popular thing to say, because everybody wants to think, well, they know exactly what they're doing. But I have a couple of friends who, I'm sad to say, in the last year were diagnosed with cancer. And if you could hear the different opinions about what to do, and, well, if you have this gene, then this is probably not a good treatment. We don't know. There's an 86% chance of this if you do that. But if you do it with this, then it reduces the chance, but only in women over the age of. The point of which is we've got all these variables,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to make independent decisions for a given patient. And you just don't know. There's so much guesswork. That doesn't mean they're not educated guesses. It means that there's just not a absolute definitive answer. So to go back to your question about CBD, we know that CBD indirectly stimulates the endocannabinoid system.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. We know what the endocannabinoid system does. It affects a dozen different systems in the body, from blood pressure to sleep to depression to, you know, you name it. It affects these things.
Absolutely.
And we know for a fact in a scientific study, double-blind, randomized, that like you give one group the CBD and they don't get colds, and you give the other group, no, we don't have a study like that.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Well,
since the endocannabinoid system regulates all these important processes and has an impact on immunity, and because we know CBD has a good impact on the endocannabinoid system, it would make sense that would be part of the arsenal.
Mm. Well, speaking of arsenals, what can someone do about their immunity, and how much of it is really under our control?
I love that you asked that question. So I'm going to tell you my favorite quote whenever I talk about immunity, and it's from Louis Pasteur.
Ah.
So Pasteur, as you know, was a microbiologist who studied germs.
Right.
He studied all of these different germs and these infections and these different, you know, viral things and microbes that could cause problems in the body. And most of his work and the work of the people who followed him was in learning about these germs. On his deathbed, he said, "Look to the host."
Oh, wow.
What he meant was, okay, we got all the information on the germs, but what really gets somebody sick is whether or not you can resist them.
Right.
So the action isn't just in understanding the birth. You and I have all gone to an office. I mean, everyone in this who's listening to this has been in an office or a work environment of some kind where, quote unquote, something's going around.
Right, right.
And some people are out for 2 weeks, and some people don't even get it.
Right.
Why?
Well,
if it were all about the germs, everybody would get it, but everybody wouldn't get it.
Well, you know, absolutely. We have a right now that's happening here. You know, like Aviana was sick first, and then Navi got sick. I was with Navi all day in close quarters, close by. We went to the Texas Hemp Convention. We were together all day. Okay,
She's
getting better, but Aviana's getting better, but it never affected me. Now I'm sitting here bragging. I have to knock on some wood here.
But you better knock on some wood.
Right? I'm double knocking. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not, because I do eat really well. I take vitamin D and turmeric and CBD oil and all these things that build your immune system, like AHCC, and especially during cold and flu. And I truly never get sick. And when I do, my body bounces back very quickly.
And, you know, there is a genetic component. There's a gene for resilience. So some people do bounce back better than others. But there is to answer your original question, there's a lot we can do to feed these systems. And you mentioned a bunch of really, really helpful supplements and nutrients. I'll give you a few more.
Okay.
One of my favorites, and I keep this in the house, and I, again, not associated with the company, but elderberry extract.
Oh, I love elderberry. It's Italian,
it's
too.
It's available over-the-counter at CVS. It's not like a special, you know, it's a Sambuco, they sell it as. It's great stuff. But elderberry extract is the bomb.
It is.
Stuff. And there's actually good research on it in Israel that shows it doesn't prevent the common cold, but it reduces the number of days you're sick. And if you and I have ever had the flu, if you have been out for 7 days, you know how every day you don't even feel like watching television. You can't even focus. It's just like, oh, just make it go away. So if you can reduce that by half, that'd be a pretty nice outcome. So I love black elderberry extract. I keep a couple of emergency compounds in the house that I keep for my family and me for times, you know, when something's coming on. And they are vitamin A, which a lot of people do not understand is one of the best immune system boosters there is. And I keep it in a micellized form, which is a liquid form. I'm not sure where you can. I think Metagenics may make it. There's a couple of other companies you might have to look for it. But high dose vitamin A.
Really?
And you I'm know, about 50,000 IUs, which you would not take every day, folks.
No.
Not a daily dose. That's a 3-day dose while you're sick.
Well,
it does wonders.
And vitamin A is fat soluble like vitamin D, so you do have to be careful when you're dosing it to not like take too much of it. And you can take short, like you said, short term, couple of days in a row. I do the same thing, but you know, vitamin A does not get enough press. It really doesn't.
It doesn't. And everybody's afraid of it for toxicity. It's actually, the toxicity studies are not nearly as bad as you think, and the doses have to be, you know, a couple times your body weight, but people are sort of nervous with that.
Okay.
But a high dose, I learned this originally, let me give props to Ann Louise Gittleman, who I'll bet you've had on the show. Fat Flush program, you know who Ann Louise Gittleman is, right?
Yes.
The first lady of nutrition. Yeah. She was doing that back in the 90s, and it's very, very effective. And you can also add astragalus sometimes it's pronounced, the herb.
Yep.
And of course, I'm sure you told them about zinc.
Zinc, yes, and oil of oregano, colloidal silver. I keep an arsenal under, you know, my I'll have to actually send you a picture of my counter where I keep all my, they're kind of hidden, but I mean, it's huge.
And then the foods, you know, foods like apples and onions, both quercetin. And quercetin is a magical compound. I take it as a supplement. It's one of the most anti-inflammatory things in the world. So eat a lot of apples and onions during this time. And also, have you mentioned olive leaf extract?
Mm-hmm. That's another great one.
Yeah, I prefer olive leaf complex because it gets all of the different polyphenols, not just an extract of one or two of them. But olive leaf complex is terrific. Olive oil is terrific because those polyphenols really support immunity, you know, and the functioning of the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, what I tell people to do is the regular dose of zinc is about 15 milligrams a day for most people. Double or triple that for a few days. Go up to 50 milligrams of zinc for, you know, the length of the cold. Of course, you take more vitamin C. But people do, they all know about vitamin C, but people forget about how important zinc is.
Yeah, they do. They do. And especially if you're pregnant, you know, it's really important to take zinc.
Absolutely.
And so, okay, let's talk for a minute about probiotics and then antioxidants and then your anti-aging action plan. I need to know about this before we go off the air because I'm all about that.
Well, the anti-aging action plan is basically just taking the supplements that I'm talking about that basically keep everything in order and keep them working so that they're ready for an emergency. And,
yeah.
And you know, as we get older, immunity isn't as strong, and older people can be really hit hard by the loss of a loved one. You know, I mean, they just don't bounce back as well because they don't have, you know, they less and they don't have as much protein. And there's just a lot of lifestyle things with as we age that people kind of take for granted that maybe they shouldn't, you know, like...
I agree.
Toast and tea is not a breakfast, folks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I like to, as I said, I black elderberry is a strong one. I would keep around the A and the astragalus and things like that. But I would make a point of taking probiotics. That's in a way a great part of the anti-aging cocktail, if you will, because probiotics, really, every conference I go to, Bernadette, there's just more and more evidence accumulating about how many things probiotics affect because of the microbiome.
Yeah.
And, you know, to just walk backwards, the microbiome is all those trillions of cells that live in the gut. There are more of those cells than there are human cells in the human body. You need to keep them in a healthy kind of ecology. And you do that by keeping the bad guys out and the good guys. And who are the bad guys? Things like candida. You don't want a candida infection, a yeast infection. Those
right.
And you want to give it the good bacteria. So here's the big red question mark. Unfortunately, we know how great probiotics are.
Right.
But we don't know the exact dose of the exact strain for each person. And I can guarantee you that's 10 years down the pike, we will know that. You will know that for Bernadette, you should take Lactobacillus acidophilus in this amount.
Yep.
You don't need the Bifidobacterium. We will know that. That is coming. That's the era of personalized medicine. So a lot of the anti-supplement folks like to say, oh, well, there's not enough research. Well, there isn't enough research yet to know exactly how to individualize it.
Well,
but there's enough research to know it's a darn good supplement. And I think it is wise and prudent to supplement with five basic strains till we can figure out how to individualize it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm being a bit braggadocious here, but One Life Radio was the first one talking about the power of probiotics back 8 years ago when everybody thought, that when I said stuff like from books that I had read, oh, my goodness, I'm having trouble pulling up her name right now. But, oh, my goodness, the GAPS diet, Dr. Natasha McBride, I believe is her name. I remember reading her book and reading about probiotics being able to heal schizophrenia and all these things that people thought, that's crazy, no pun intended. But it's not crazy. Our immune system, our gut controls everything. It really does.
It's one of the first lines of defense.
Right.
You know, when you think about it, the skin is one of the first lines of defense, and the gut wall is the other one, because that's what's keeping the riffraff out of your bloodstream. And if it's not healthy, you're not digesting your nutrients. And you can take all the vitamin supplements in the world. If you're not absorbing them, all of that happens in the gut.
Well,
and probiotics are the lifeline to that. And let me just give you a fast shout out of where I get my probiotic information. So I had to also decide for myself, okay, we don't know. We can't take every strain and every amount. And we know that some of them aren't really helping some people and some of them are really helping others. And how do we know? David Perlmutter, I don't know if you've had him on the show. He is one of my mentors, the great brain doctor, the guy that wrote Grain Brain.
He's amazing, yes.
He's amazing. So look him up and ask. And he has written a number of articles about the five strains he thinks everybody should get. I take those five strains.
Yeah, we actually have had him on the show, and we have talked about it, and he is amazing. And I always love your content, Dr. Johnny. I do, and
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to speaking with you again in a couple of weeks.
Very soon. I hear that I am now officially a regular.
You are officially you are, and we're going to get to chat it up.
All right.
Right.
I'll talk to you.
Love having you on the show. Everyone, I encourage you to check out Dr. Johnny Bowden's book, his books. He's got many. Living Low Carb is a great book. It's the essential guide to choosing the right low carb plan for you, revised and updated. And we're going to go to break. We'll be right back. We've got John David Carrasco. He is the founder and CEO of Can Live, a global hemp company and developer. And I'm so excited to hear his personal story. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
This feeling inside my bones, it goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off to my city,
I love this song. I have to hear the opening.
We're flying up no ceiling when we going. In our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul.
Oh my gosh, I can't get enough music. And it's Friday night, so I'm really going to listen to some music tonight. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, Nevi Mendoza, and we have Dr. David Carrasco in studio. Or I said doctor. I just called
him a doctor.
I just made you a doctor. What is wrong with
doctor?
Okay, doctor. He's not a doctor. John David. He's like a doctor, though. Oh, my goodness. He is just loaded with so much beautiful information, seriously. So John David is the CEO of Can Live, a global hemp manufacturer and brand developer. He resigned from the board of directors for multiple nonprofits, including the Salvation Army. I love the Salvation Army, just great. By the way. The Arts and Humanities Council and St. Paul's Children's Foundation. He was also the marketing chair for the Tyler Chamber of Commerce. You can find him at his website, canlive.com, and that's CANNLIV.com. Such a pleasure to have you
Thank
in studio
you so
with
much.
Us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here and also to meet the rest of your staff. And hey, we met at the Texas Hemp Convention.
We did.
What a great 3 days, wasn't it?
It was. I didn't make it the first day. We had a lot going on, behind the scenes here. But it was so great to meet you and so many people. I just loved the vibe at the convention. There was just this wonderful vibe.
The energy was phenomenal.
The energy was phenomenal. And I have to say, we go to a lot of conferences and conventions and things like that. And like Paleo FX is a really good example of that same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Expo West, kind of, sort of, but not so much. More money motivated, more sales driven. But I felt like that the Texas Hemp Convention was just really laid back.
Well, that and also it was a very pivotal week for Texas,
yes.
for the industry as a whole, because this week the USDA approved Texas's hemp cultivation regulations.
Oh, wow.
It's official now.
It's official.
Yes. So Sid Miller announced it. There were some hearings down in Waco recently. I was a little under the weather, so I couldn't make it personally, but he's the Texas Ag Commissioner, and then it was announced 3 days ago that United States Department of Agriculture has approved Texas's hemp laws. So,
wow.
So we're there. We're now at the table, finally. We've been waiting for years to get to this point. Can Live specifically, we started in October of 2015 here in Texas. And that kind of just came about purely by accident. My father had been diagnosed from colon cancer. And so we, before he passed away, we were trying to figure out, Dad, let's get you some help. He was having issues with his chemo, just nausea all the time, extreme pain.
Yeah.
And he's like, son, I told him, I said, Dad, let's go to Colorado. Let's get you a medical card. Let's just get you on medical marijuana because your pain is just to a point to where it's unbearable. I would take care of him sometimes. I would hear him just all night, excruciating pain. And he goes, son, I can't. He goes, I could go down the road and get some if I wanted to. But he goes, my benefits are tied to the state of Texas. And his concern was if he tested positive for an illicit drug, he would lose his benefits. He was very an independent, proud man. He's like, look, I've worked my whole life that whenever I did get sick or it was the end of my life, you guys wouldn't have to touch me, wouldn't have to take care of me. I would have nurses, private nurses, nurse assistants come in and take care of me so that that's how I want it done. And so, unfortunately, he passed away on March 31st of 2014. Was not able to see what we've developed, but it's really kind of been in his honor, in his memory, because at that point I decided, wow, I got to find out what cannabis is about. I never say really marijuana because I think it's a derogatory word, towards Hispanics, Latinos. You know, we've gotten demonized in the 1930s through Reefer Madness, and you know, what is this this plant coming in? So we typically try to just use the word, the scientific definition of cannabis. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I've been preaching throughout my travels and from a political perspective as well. I chaired the Cannabis Caucus for the Texas Democratic Party in 2016. And that's what I told our delegates, is said, you know, let's use the word cannabis.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. And we actually... We struck every word of marijuana in the party platform for the Texas Democratic Party and replaced it with the word only cannabis, or cannabis rather. So
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a plant, and that's the name of it.
Exactly.
And that's what we should call it,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And it's very healing, and it's got so many incredible properties. So let me ask you this before we go on to that. What are the current laws regarding hemp and CBD?
Well, you know, currently on a national level, you cannot manufacture or produce anything that's over 0.3% of THC, which is the psychoactive component.
Right.
You know, again, Texas is finally at the point to where we're at the table, to where cultivation licenses will begin issued. But you just can't haphazardly grow for your own use in Texas. Now, different states, everybody has their hemp cultivation pilot programs, mm-hmm. and then some states have a full legal cannabis program, including your THC levels, which are, you know, just kind of all over the place, whether if you're in California, Oregon, or Colorado. But here in Texas specifically, it is hemp only at this point. And again, it is regulated by the state. The Ag Department in Texas will be issuing those licenses here in the next 30 days.
Oh, wow. You're so well spoken.
Thank you.
I'm really enjoying having this conversation with you. You are, and you're so knowledgeable. And that's really what we need. We need education about cannabis. I hear music.
I do too.
So we're going to go to break for just a second. Okay. I can't wait, because I want to know what you would say to someone who may be hesitant to try CBD. But we're going to go to break. We'll be right back. More with John David Carrasco. He is a CEO of CanLive, and we'll be right back. What if this is fate, then we'll find a way to cheat. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, and John David Carrasco. He is the CEO of CanLive, a global hemp manufacturer and brand developer. I want to let everyone know, before we get back to my questions for John David. You go by John David.
John David. Yeah, my friends call me JD. So
oh, JD.
You
I love
call
that.
Me JD if you want.
Well, I want to let everyone know quickly that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go right to iHeartMedia.com to listen live, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And a big shout out to our sponsors, great companies that bring this information to you, companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, Wild Foods, No Evil Foods, Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorn Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And I want to get right.
And very soon, CanLive will be added to that list.
Oh, really?
Yes,
well,
yes,
that's good to know. Well, you know, I am super excited, whatever happens. And I'm just so thankful that we met yesterday.
Yes.
I am. So if you're just now joining us, John David is the CEO of CanLive, a global hemp manufacturer and brand developer. He resigned from the board of directors for multiple nonprofits, including Salvation Army, the Arts and Humanities Council, and St. Paul's Children's Foundation, and he was the marketing chair for the Tyler Chamber of Commerce. His website is canlive.com. That's CANNLIV.com. Your story is amazing. You started this company because of the love for your father and trying to find a resolution to help him to live longer. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2014, and may he rest in peace. I get really emotional when I talk, because I was so close to my dad too, like so close to my dad. And so, you know, before we went to break, I asked you, or I mean, I said that I was going to ask you, what do you say to someone who may be hesitant to try CBD?
Well, all I can do is just give you my own personal story. And, you know, again, I'm not a doctor. I always recommend anybody that starts a natural product such as CBD, cannabidiol, that they consult with their doctor first and to ensure that it's not going to have any type of interaction or issues with their existing health that they have going on. We haven't seen or documented any real issues or interactions with any existing medications. But again, always check with your healthcare professional. We always recommend that, first of all. But what I did was back in 2015, my very good friend Malik, who you met yesterday.
He's so sweet.
Last couple of days, Malik Villarreal, who's on his way flying to Pensacola right now to see his mom. So Malik, thanks for coming out to visit with me this week. But so we traveled to Colorado and in California and started meeting with various different manufacturers and producers in the cannabis space. And I quickly realized that there was something totally different than what was called marijuana, and that was industrial hemp. And I'm like, wow, I never knew this. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to get involved in this, I need to know what it does for myself. Mm-hmm. At that point, I had been on pain medication for over 10 years, taking 2 to 3 Vicodin a day, sometimes 2 to 3 Valium at night because I couldn't sleep because of the amount of Vicodin. I was a miserable person. You know, if I had 2 glasses of wine, a couple of beers, the interaction with those opiates was horrible. And I was just a mean, bitter person. I was not happy.
I lost my brother to an opioid addiction. Vicodin was his drug of choice. He had a heart attack in his early 50s. And it's really sad because he was a wonderful person.
Yes, it's very unfortunate that situations like that have occurred because of opiates. And so I knew that, I said, well, you know, I'll try CBD and see what happens. And first couple of days, I thought, well, this is nothing. It's like, I guess it's like vitamin C. You don't feel anything.
Right.
And so I called my buddy up in Colorado. I said, you know, this doesn't work. This is just a fad, man. I'm not going to get involved. He says, John David, please just do it for 2 weeks. You have to be consistent. You've got to stay on your regimen. Don't skip anything. Just keep on doing it. He goes, just give me 2 weeks and then call me and we'll see what's going on with you. And I was like, all right. So I kept on doing it. Didn't even think, you know, anything about it. My routine every morning was coffee, Vicodin, and a cigarette because I'd been a cigarette smoker since I was 15 years old.
Wow.
So the 10th day I woke up, had my coffee, looked at my bottle of Vicodin, and I was like, why am I taking that? That desire, that urge, my muscles every morning would start cramping up in my back because it knew it was waiting for that next pain pill.
Right.
And so the coffee would just kind of help your system kind of process it a lot faster. So you'd have Vicodin racing around. And so it would get to where it needed to go to allow for your body to say, okay, I'm happy now. Well, that urge and that desire was completely gone. I was like, okay, well, what's this about? And I thought, well, let me go throughout my day. And just usually by 1 or 2 o'clock, I was taking another one. Totally forgot about it. I was doing a website for my dear best friend, Larry Lott. He had a company in Tyler at the time. And hello, Larry, if you're listening right now, I'm sure he is.
Hi, Larry.
So, but, you know, and so I got home that night and I looked at the Valium and I said, well, if I didn't take any Vicodin today, do I need Valium tonight? I slept better that night than I had in over 10 years.
Wow.
So next day, I was like, okay, this is something. I started calling people up, and I said, this is really is going to change my life. 13 days later, woke up, coffee, brand new pack of cigarettes, and I went, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever been doing. So my dad was a cigarette smoker. My 2 uncles that had passed away from cancer were cigarette smokers.
Wow.
And, you know, my grandmother had died of brain cancer. And I thought, you know, I'm next. And I literally just, I threw that pack of cigarettes again. I've never had a desire. Usually after a beer or a glass of wine, you know, Jack and Coke, you know, I was usually around the corner having a cigarette. Have never picked up another cigarette again. And that was in October 2015. After that 13th day, that's when I went, filed our license for our company with the Texas Secretary of State. And I thought, wow, if I can live a longer life without smoking, if I can live a life without taking opiates, you know, I can live to be, you know, longer in my life. And I thought, I can live. That's the name of the company, Can Live, but a spin on the name CANNLIV. So, you know, that's
I love a good entrepreneurial story.
So
I do.
That's where we were, you know, and here I am, conservative East Texas, you know, on all these nonprofit boards, and I love each one of them and all those folks that I was working with, but I thought, how are they going to understand where I'm coming from? Because they're like, oh, this guy's just going out growing marijuana.
Right.
And because the science wasn't there yet. And I thought, you know, I've got to figure this out. So our three models in our company is educate, cultivate, facilitate. So we've got to educate people about what CBD is. And we've got to begin cultivating minds as well and become facilitators in our own, and like yourself. You're a facilitator.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you for what you're doing and the message that you're doing to for our community.
Well, I'm passionate about it too, because I've lost brothers, my two older brothers. I lost both of them. Mm-hmm. We could talk forever about it, but I thank you so much for being in studio today. I so enjoyed, and I know our listeners did too, to hear you just so eloquently speak about cannabis.
Thank you so much.
All right. John David Carrasco, you can find him at canlive.com. That's C-A-N-N-L-I-V. Everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.